What up? I'm Rock Harper. You're now listening to the Chef Rock Experiment, the podcast. Your journey to entertainment, empowerment, and education in the food business begins right now. Let's go. This episode of the Chef Rock Experiment, Chef Drink Edition, is brought to you by International Gourmet Foods. The mission at IGF is to cultivate an elevated, valuable relationship with their customers that is rich in quality products and real food knowledge. They believe that quality is not a luxury, but rather something they can provide every customer through their exceptional products and service. Visit IGF-INC.com for more information. That's IGF-INC.com. And be sure to tell them Chef Rock sent you.
Even if you had experience, to prove yourself and then work your way up and be patient about it.
Yeah.
And then get to know your comrades. And now it's just, I really don't know, actually. But
do you think, like, you know, so I was talking to Jason Alley, who you mentioned earlier last night, and I think it's really important that, you know, there are celebrities, there are people who are influenced, like real life influencers.
Sure.
And we all know about the culture.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everybody knows about the culture. Everybody, like, when Mario Batali got outed or whatever, I never hung out with Mario, but from what I, the people that I know, no one was surprised.
Sure.
You know, and he, because he's at all these events, so these things happen. It's not like in this, you know, it's not like this super elitist culture. Chefs are chefs, so if you're at Sobe or if you're at NYC Food Festival,
mm-hmm.
you'll sort of get a glimpse of
mm-hmm.
it. And I think that, you know, it's a line that people, it seems like guys don't want to, not cross, but just call out bad beat. Like, okay, that shit was okay.
Right.
Yes. Yesterday.
Right.
But who's, my question is, like, who's going to be, who are the people that sort of say, hey, here's what we got to do. So many people I talk to, I'm going to ask you a question at the end, but so many people I talk to talk about, in so many words, this is wellness and the awareness of the value that healthy, whatever, all that, and I'm making hand gestures and nobody can see it, but you know, just a holistic approach,
mm-hmm.
right, a balanced approach to what people understand that's valuable. So I guess, you know, I'm saying, like, the celebrities, the people that are out front, and you got to show what's behind all of this jazz.
Right.
You know,
right.
But like, we could see sort of, you know, we mourned Bourdain and we still are. You know, my fear is that he's so lofty, what that does, like that, you know, they say committed suicide.
Mm-hmm.
But are we really exploring, like, the totality of,
right.
Because I go to a lot of the parties and I see, and I'm not knocking parties.
Sure,
parties
no.
are awesome.
Right.
I love shit, like,
right.
But we got to put it in perspective.
Right. Does it become martyrdom, or does it become an example right. where we realize that we should not become that thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So working wellness into, when you do get a, you know, when your place opens, just in general, how do you work wellness into the day to day? Do you have any ideas yet?
I think, you know, I haven't, like, completely. Staff acupuncturist.
Well, you have a staff acupuncturist.
Well, I know, like, I see, like, Rick Bayless, like, he posts a lot of, like, yoga posts, and I mean, I think he's a bit of an older. I look up to him a lot, and he's part of this canon of chefs that I, you know, respect the hell out of it. Like, some people probably wouldn't know some of these guys' names, like Jasper White out of New England, and like, is it Rick Miller that did, the Red Sage in DC. I could have his name wrong, but I know it's Mark Miller. Wrote the Coyote Cafe cookbook, and all these guys, some kind of, you know, maybe worked at Chez Panisse at one point in time, or they're part of the original American regional food movement, you know. But at any rate, Bayless has, like, this whole yoga thing, and it's impressive to see. I don't know how many other chefs that maybe some of these people I was mentioning earlier that are into the ink and into the tweezers and into the art of plating food. Are they also observing those wellness aspects, you know, who's out there that's promoting that. I don't know. For me, I think it would be policy comes first, you know, you try to instill that in your place. You don't want to have an environment that's completely sterile and void of like that fun, creative aspect, right. But you have to figure out like that fine line between what's acceptable, what's offensive. If somebody gets offended, can we have a conversation about it so that it doesn't completely destroy the mood? Because there is a fine line between like almost like having a young child that just complains about anything at the drop of a dime. You know, again, not to belittle anybody's feelings about things they may encounter in a workplace or maybe somebody said something that offended them. But we have to have an open conversation and figure out why that happened and where can we go from there. And I guess providing the time is probably an important part of it, you know?
Yeah, safe space.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're, you know, people, you know, when somebody gets offended these days and like with the, a lot of my restaurant friends, like, oh, you can't do anything now. You can't say anything. It's like, okay, so no, that's not, no, not going to, that's extreme. You can say a lot of
sure.
shit. Like, we can still, you just can't go around grabbing people.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You can be funny. You can just not, let's start with not sexually assaulting people.
Right.
How about that? Like, let's, you know, so when we talk about like all of these, you know, people getting caught for their bad behavior.
Sure.
Let's isolate illegal behavior.
Sure.
Let's
right.
talk about this shit
right.
that's illegal.
Right.
So you can't do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Let's start there. Is that
right.
too high a bar?
Oh, no.
No, yeah. It's not too high a bar. So, and then we can, you know, the Jason said last night, and a couple of chefs I've heard, people can get offended. That's fine. I think the problem is it's valuing. See me, right? When I say that hurt me, that caused me pain. The first thing so many people today say, no, you're not hurt. That shouldn't offend you. How are you going to tell me what offends me?
Right.
So it's like mirroring this couple book I read. Just say you hear me. Don't say you agree. Say you disagree. Mm. Say you hear, because acknowledgement. So give me a safe space to say, you know, you hear me.
Yeah.
And then let's be still. Let the breathe mm-hmm. for a second. And then, you know, we can go from there. But most times in the restaurant culture I grew up in,
oh, yeah.
they're quick to tell you, no, like, get over it. No, that's not valid.
Right.
Get back to
yeah.
work. And,
yeah.
you know, I'm not even asking you a question now. Let me get the frick off my
soapbox. Oh, well, no,
box.
I love it because it's like I remember yeah. being in a walk-in one time with my friend, and we had just gotten in this, like, order of beef tongues. And then this pastry chef walked in, and they were in cryovac. Each tongue was cryovac'd, and he was like, hey, you ever been tongued down before? Like, and he didn't touch her with the beef tongue, but it was like it was just a joke. And
yeah.
she laughed, and she was a CIA grad, and, you know, we're talking 2004, so maybe it wasn't as sensitive at that point in time, but I could see, like, looking back when all this stuff's exploded, like when you see Louis C.K. or people that, like, he's an example of somebody where you're like, of course he did something dumb like that. Not to say that those women maybe didn't have a reason to say what they need to say, but it's like, what'd you expect going into that guy's hotel room?
Right.
I'm not saying it's okay. I'm just saying, like, right. what do you expect when you go hang out with, let's say, if you know you're going to go hang out with a murderer? Well,
yeah.
there's a chance you could, if you go hang out yeah. with a guy who's constantly talking about foul stuff, there's a chance you're probably going to hear it or encounter some of that
right.
behavior.
Right.
Whether it's all joke or a stage persona versus what you see behind a closed door in a hotel room, I don't know. And I don't try to get in it. That's anyway, but the tongue thing and the walk in, when all that stuff started erupting with the Me Too thing, I was like, man, like, damn, is it gonna come out that like my
right.
buddy pulled out a beef tongue and a cryovac and was like, hey, you ever been tongued down before?
Right.
It's like
right.
but there's, and the worst part about the food business or the restaurant industry is there's puns everywhere.
There is.
You know, it's just like whether it's yeah. like something about a sauce on the side or hot and cold or
yeah.
any wet and juicy or whatever the hell
yeah.
you want to say about food, there's all these sensory things that are involved with the business.
And that's one thing that we love about, well, I know me. I mean, I like to fashion myself a funny guy a lot of times.
Sure.
And that's one thing. It's just so much material.
Oh, yeah,
right?
All the time.
But I tell you this, and the great comics don't need to be, they're borderline, right?
Right.
But they don't, so it's just like, if you can't be, if all your comedy is offending someone, or
right.
like in regular, then you're really not
that's
funny.
That's true.
You're just, you know,
shock value.
Slow,
yeah.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
I had someone close to me come out of the closet, and... This was a moment for me. So Dave Chappelle has a saying. He says, everything's funny until it happens to you.
Right.
right? He said, everybody's funny
right.
until... So, like, you know, in the kitchen, like, for me, I'm just make I statements. I used to tell a lot of gay jokes. Mm-hmm. I mean, just, they, I mean, you talk about, it was just easy.
It's like nonsensical in your head. It just,
right.
Yeah.
And half of my staff was gay, and they would get in on the fun.
Right.
And they would, you know, so it was just normalized.
Right.
It was just, so we gay jokes, and there was, so it was just, you know, these are my good friends. Mm-hmm. And this person that came out of the closet to me, and I'm like, okay, well, I still love you, you know?
Yeah.
Later on, long story short, he said to me, like, you say some stuff that offends me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, come on, man. This, you know, I'm just joking. It's funny to you. It's not funny to me.
Right.
And it took him a long time to tell me that. And until, so if he were, I don't know if I would have had that moment of reflection if it wasn't somebody I loved and cared about.
Right.
And it hit me in a real way. And I had to ask myself, always I ask myself. So essentially, women say the same thing to me, like, you shouldn't say that. The first thing we want to say is, you're being too sensitive.
Sure.
First thing I do now is like, oh, I didn't see that.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me how you feel. I might not agree with you, but tell me how you feel, especially if it's in a professional environment.
Right.
But the reflection of, I didn't, that was not my intention.
Yeah.
But I hear you and I see you and I value you. I think the difference is where guys say, you know, well, am I going to get Me Too'd? First of all, no. Me Too is, well, I don't even use that term, but
right.
Getting in trouble is about, like, I told you this was wrong, and it's a culture and a constant thing that you keep doing.
Yeah.
We've all done some crazy shit that's offended somebody.
Sure.
I told you about it, and you did this shit 5 minutes later. That's where we get into. So no,
right.
You know, a lot of guys are not going to, women too, a lot of people are not going to get in trouble because they stopped the behavior. It's not about being perfect.
Right.
It's about the continue. When you look at the people that it's continue, what Mario was doing, what Besh was
sure.
doing, and all
yeah.
of these people.
Yeah.
It was a culture.
And how much of that was fueled by being out drinking and not being, because I saw a lot of pictures of him where he seemed like he was like, you know, squinty eyed and half in the bag.
Which one?
Batali.
Yeah.
Yeah, where it's like, how much of it is just, and I'm not saying that that's an excuse, but how much of it is fueled by that being in that element and putting yourself in that,
I think,
putting yourself in that position.
Yeah.
I've come to realize that a lot lately too. You have to realize you put yourself in a certain position and you can't control yourself, then chances are something could happen that you didn't want to happen.
Right.
You know?
You gotta move up, man. I don't want to like put you in this, we're having this like super deep conversation on like harassment, right? Oh, okay, good. This is just going with the energy. But the goal is, to me, it is like, you know, drawing a line. An owner said to me one time, well, chef, owner, you're gonna have to make a decision, Rock. You wanna go from line cook to sous chef. Every moment, they would say to me, because they saw something in me I didn't see in myself. They said, would a chef do that? Would I do that?
Right.
And so that's going to mean separating yourself from these people that you call your friends. It doesn't mean you have to be an asshole.
Right.
It just means that you can't. You can buy a drink. You can buy a round. You can have a couple laughs.
Right.
You can't shut the bar down with them.
Right.
And at first I was like, what was it? You know, it was like a white
You're like,
dude.
I can balance this.
So I'm like, yeah, I'm thinking like I'm trying to separate me from my black friends. It's just like, you know, I'm like, well, keep it real.
Right.
Until they fucking turned on me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I understood that it's a decision. I can either be a sucker over here and be friendly.
Right.
Or I can be managerial.
Sure.
Ownership material. And you can party with your friend or have fun and facilitate
mm-hmm.
it. But at a certain point, you cannot be 3 a.m.
Yeah.
with your line cooks, with your servers.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, that was like a real shifting moment. Because I like people.
Yeah.
But I love those people. I just
it's hard to cut that off.
Yeah.
Sometimes it takes like a life change. Like, oh, I have a baby on the way, so I can't do this anymore. But all of a sudden, when it's a managerial thing, and it's like, oh man, you can't. It's almost like Goodfellas. It's like, oh, we got one of ours in the upper echelon now, so now we can do whatever we want. But it's like, actually, guys, it's like the opposite. Like, I have to not come down on you, but really keep things in check. Also, to get your vision of what you think that food or that kitchen should be run like. You know, it's tough, man. That's been a long, long-term mistake of mine where it's like, I can't keep hiring friends. You know, as much as I know that if I bring this person on and they kind of know my rhythm and it would be easy for me to bring them, I know what comes with that. And it's tough, you know. It's great to work with friends, but it's a tough line to divide the two. And it takes, obviously, the two people involved to really make it happen.
Yeah,
but
growth.
Mm-hmm.
IGF is proud to launch two new additions to the product family. Both lines, Meadows Pride Farm Lamb and Mancini Pasta, share a unifying theme of farmers working closely and respectfully with the land around them to produce the highest quality items. Despite the geographic distance, these producers share a common lifestyle of living amongst the fruits of their labor and being actively involved with the full life cycle of their products. Visit IGF-Inc.com for more information and make sure you tell them Chef Rock sent you. In wellness, line cook, chef, I'm having stuff show up, whether it be emotions, like where is it, what would you say is the safest, or where can you start?
I mean, like, before I got like into doing yoga, which was about 2 years ago, I'd had a friend of mine who was a waitress or server, who owns her own yoga studio now, who got me into it, and then I got into baking, so my whole schedule fell off and I stopped going. But I appreciated what was happening to me over the course of like the 3 months I was doing it. But I never turned back because I was grinding out the pastries and doing the baking thing. And when you get off of work, it's like hard to, on that shift anyway, it's just like it would be the night shift, it's hard to want to go exercise or do something. So when I was doing the food truck, with technology, bringing it back around to that, there's this app called Headspace, which is like a great way to start. I think for somebody who, like, if you don't have a physical activity or you're not really doing much, but maybe drinking or getting on a video game or doing something silly after work, then not just to call it silly, but it's like a checkout. You know, you're just checking out. Maybe checking out by getting your mind in a meditative space is a great way to start, I think. At least introducing yourself to sort of like, oh, I'm not necessarily connected to all those things that I stress myself out about every single day, or that what so-and-so said to me on the line tonight doesn't really make me who I am or mean anything for that matter. And maybe that person, what they said to me, is actually me saying stuff to me. The mirror, like you were saying, you know, it's like we are all part of this pool of energy. And when you're surrounding yourself with that same energy, it's like this whole, but when you get caught in your head, you take it personal and it becomes this internalized destructive thing. So I think just something as simple as that, if you're not doing something already, that's a great starting point. Introduce yourself to something that gives you that space to breathe and calm down and just actually realize that it doesn't all really matter in the end. Right. I mean, that was a lot of the food truck was an amazing place for me to go, because I had to get rid of a lot of my white tablecloth tendencies and just throw it out the window.
You're going to do some great work in this space. I can see it. You're going to do some great work in this whatever. I don't even want to wrap it in a definition.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I see it.
I hope so.
I'm calling it
out.
Yeah,
I like it. Yeah. I like it. I need those kinds of predictions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just you're ahead, and we need to be led.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And you got a heck of a chance.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's a tough town. Like, you have a kid. I had a kid back in 2001, and his mom and I didn't stay together, and you stay put, and I wanted to be invested in his life. I had I was put up for adoption when my mom was 16 years old in 1978, went through having me and then put me up for adoption, and I was adopted by some fantastic parents who gave me an opportunity. So I decided to give him an opportunity, and I wanted to be there for that. I didn't want to like check out or leave or go. The thing you would do as a chef would be like, I'm going to go up to DC or Richmond or wherever else from Virginia Beach or from the Hampton Roads area and learn from somebody. I hit the biggest shop in town at the time back then in 2001, 2002. But I decided to stay put, and you have to make what you have work. So now it is kind of that time to figure out, like, I'm humble. I'm okay with the fact that I didn't get to go work for, I don't know, pick any name you want to. But it's always a fascination for me, cooking in general, tinkering. I think that's the one thing I always have going for me as far as my own personal, like, self beating myself up. You know, it's like I didn't get to go work in San Sebastian or hit up Mugaritz or any of that stuff. But I'll always be a cook, and I'm always digging in the books, and I'm always just trying to think about new ways to do things that I do. So anyway, I don't even know where I was going with all that.
No, I love it, man. That was poetic.
But formulating where this thing will go, we'll see. But yeah, you have to take care of, I took care of the things that I needed to take care of in my life, and that kept me rooted here. So now he's eight. He'll be 18 in April, which is insane.
Yeah.
So now it's just like, okay, now it's kind of wide open. Like, I used to be like, all right, I want to see him do this. I want to be there for him. That was kind of part of baking, was to have my hours situated so that I could try to be there at night if I needed to be there for him. And like I said, his mom and I weren't together, but she worked a job that sometimes she had to be gone or she had to work nights. And I love to be able to be available and to not be on the night grind, which I did for a good first, 6 years of his life. Mm-hmm. So at any rate, if it weren't for him, maybe I wouldn't be seeing these things these way. Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it happens the way it's
Sure. For sure.
Too quick fill in the blanks for you, and I'll let you get back to the show. your sources of your one major source of like where you find ideas, inspiration.
Man, if it wasn't for, I think going back to the whole idea of technology, I mean, almost like music, like when I grew up listening to hip hop, yeah. And I love the early 90s, Black Sheep and Tribe Called Quest, and then mid 90s and 2000s, and then I started kind of losing a grip a little bit, but first Kanye album, so forth, but before you know it, it's like, just like Kitchens, you realize these stars like Thomas Keller and so forth have now propelled other acts and other proteges, and it's like the entire field and the business is just blown out of proportion. It's insane, and it's a beautiful thing, but it's also like it can be daunting, it can bring you down, it can make you feel like, damn, I ain't shit. But the reality is, again, going back to the cooking thing, it's like my greatest sources for me to keep me grounded are the amount of books that I accumulated early on in my career. Just the Chez Panisse collection, from the fruit book to the vegetable book. There's no glossy, pretty pictures. It's all just recipes based on the seasons. The Judy Rogers Zuni Cafe book. I mean, even going to the first era of coffee table books produced by Artisan, from the French Laundry book to any of them ever since. Those are all amazing, but like going back to look at some of those old books really is like, oh, y'all are focusing on what's new and how you can twist up a cucumber spiral and plate it around the plate in a crescent moon shape. And meanwhile, it's like, I just like food that falls on the plate and just eats well, And it's like, what is real versus how much time are you spending doing this? And again, I'm not knocking it because it's beautiful. It's amazing to see that stuff. But I think for me, sometimes I'm like, that ship might have sailed and maybe it wasn't for me to begin with. I've always had trying to identify with what kind of cook I am and what relates to me the most. Yeah. So to fill in the blank on that one is like going back to my library, because I have way too many books, which for good reason, I guess. It that's a great way to check into things,
Okay.
Yeah.
And one quick one. I said two, but I got one more since you said you're a fan of hip hop. Greatest rapper of all time.
Oh, man. That's a tough one.
I know it's tough.
Yeah.
But just pick one.
I don't know.
Yes.
Yeah, like, I like, I mean,
you gotta give me one.
Okay, so I mean, like, looking at here we are with technology again. Looking at Timberland's, he's a producer, but looking at his Instagram and still seeing him produce amazing beats, and he's Virginia, Hampton Roads. That is like crazy inspiring, and still just blows my mind. But I mean, it started for me with the East Coast, and I mean, as far as like the whole New York scene is concerned, I mean, Nas is always just still keeps it going. I still like grimy stuff like Noriega.
Those guys
trip me out. I mean, they're in their 40s and getting up there, and it's like cool to see them at it. DJ Premier, one of my favorite producers of all time as well. Like, I just like seeing them still do their thing. Like Royce the 5'9", seeing that Prime album and the stuff he does is just...
That album is crazy.
Yeah. So
Book of
Rhyme. Yeah.
Restaurant industry needs...
People that are gonna stay loyal to it and realize that it's an industry that I think we're all going back to the wellness thing and sustainability, figuring out that like a 60 to 80 to 100 hour work week isn't fair for anybody. But you still have to put in a hard day's work. You have to keep your head down, and you have to realize that like it may take 1, 2, even maybe 3 years to see the rewards come back to you, but they will come. Because otherwise, the businesses that are going to employ you are not going to be able to sustain themselves, and they're going to crumble. And if you think that you can be the chef right out of the gates and open your own business and have a 20, 30, 40 year high-flying career, well, then go for it. But otherwise, you got to stay grounded and start somewhere and put in the work and help somebody who's a little bit ahead, maybe, who can then mentor you. And I think that's where we're at in this crossroads of who's going to mentor somebody the right way and not use them and treat them, you know, for their own personal weird fixations.
Yeah. I'm with it, Chef.
So the industry needs it. Yeah, we need good help. We need people who are going to stay in the game and not worry about the notoriety or the pictures right now. You got it. It takes time. Yeah.
Where can people find you?
At Hashi Chow on Instagram, at Hashi Chow on Twitter, and Hashi Chow on Facebook.
I'll link to it in the show notes. It's been an honor to have
you on
the
show. Likewise.
Thank
you so much.
I feel we could chop it up for a couple more hours.
Hell yeah. Hopefully you have me back. And thanks to my lady, Kelly O'Brien, acupuncturist extraordinaire, for connecting with you.
Yeah, where can they find you?
I'm just going to give an email. KellyOBN@gmail.com.
I'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah, acupuncture is amazing. It really is.
It is, and if anybody, if you, probably a clip on YouTube, but I had some, my first acupuncture, maybe last, was on Hell's Kitchen, definitely not last.
Were you on Hell's Kitchen?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Do you know Barbie Marshall at all?
That's my homegirl.
Get out of here. She worked with me at Todd Jerks.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
shout out to Barbie.
Cool people. Shout out to Barbie Marshall. Barbie's cool people.
Yeah.
So we won a spa treatment, and I was telling you earlier, and I did acupuncture.
Nice.
And I was floating. In. Yeah. Oh, I told you earlier. Shit, we've been talking
for
a
while. Yeah, well, I don't think we're nearly yet. So
oh, okay, good.
It's new.
So, check. Maybe I'll link to that in the show notes. Yeah.
That's cool.
But I need to get back to it and get stuff flowing. Yeah. So, good to talk to you.
Cheers, man.
Thank you. As a company dedicated to diversity in both workforce and inventory, IGF strives to simplify the chaos of the food industry by bringing customers the products they need. Their passion is for superior ingredients and the best possible food experience from the warehouse to your clients. Visit IGF-INC.com for more information. That's IGF-INC.com. And make sure you tell them Chef Rock sent you. I'm Rock Harper, and you've been listening to the Chef Rock Experiment podcast. You can follow me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. If you've made it this far, take a moment to head on over to Apple Podcasts and subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. Join me next week for another episode of the Chef Rock Experiment, TCRX. Until then, thank you for listening.